Welcome to The Conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And I've been doing a series really on dreaming. It's time to dream, dream big, dreaming as a solution to the craziness that's going on, navigating our way forward. It's a perfect time to stop, step back, reset, rethink what we're doing. And I've been walking you through step by step how to do that, how to tap into the dreams and desires in your heart, turn that into practical action steps, and then deal with the challenges along the way. And it's all come from our book that I wrote with my wife Janine, Dream Culture: Bringing Dreams to Life. Well, this session I'm pausing on that because of all that's going on in my personal journey. I have given you this week really an inside look into my world right now, dealing with confrontation, dealing with do I tell the truth or do I just cover it over, dealing with how to make decisions in the midst of this craziness, dealing with my own dysfunction in the midst of all of this. So if you're ready for that, carry on listening. It's actually a conversation that I had with Steve Backlund of Igniting Hope Ministries. He's on our own personal board and fantastic speaker, leader, mentor, guru, guide, advisor, whatever you may call, but certainly you're going to enjoy this conversation.
So Andy, I want to just start off with what is God doing in your life? And what is he saying in your life? You take either one of those, just jump.
Yeah, and like, it's like, how long have we got? This is what we're talking about beforehand. The biggest thing for me is recognizing in my life. So my personality is like, we just dive deep in. My personality preference is avoiding conflict. So that would be the unhealthy version of me. And I could color that with I'm a person of mercy and grace. The problem is the scriptures say, we were just talking about that this morning, is don't let mercy or truth, you know, grab them, hold on to them, because then you will grow in favor. So what for me personally I'm growing in right now is moving more and more and more towards the truth aspect of life, which is having to walk straight into the middle of confrontation and conflict. And I'm learning so much in that process that it's the goal is not connection. So my gift is connection. And I'm learning that the weakness that I've got is the fear of losing connection. And so in this process, it's that the goal is not connection. The goal is love, which is authentic connection, because you cannot have authentic connection without the exchange and foundation built on truth and trust. So it's just this whole, I'm having to rewire my brain. I hate conflict, but I love truth. So I'm not heading into conflict. I'm heading into truth. And the result of truth is freedom and greater true connection.
Powerful. So you say you lean more on the side of mercy and the Lord's leading you in a truth. Okay, as you've felt this, you know, the goal is not connection, the goal is love. You're leaning into maybe some situations that in the past were uncomfortable. Maybe, yeah, they're still uncomfortable. Practically, what does that look like? What type of situations have you been going after the truth?
Yeah, so that is with team members. So with team members where I've just, so for example, if you've got an employee and they're not performing and you just, and I have tended in the past to err on grace, err on, just walk them through. I'm learning that clarity is kindness and I need to be direct and concise early rather than the more that I leave it and just, well, I'm just giving them grace. No, you're actually enabling dysfunction. So I am learning that I have to speak
up. Can you say that again? If,
what? Yeah, if I don't speak up early, concisely, and with clarity, because clarity is kindness, the gap in my communication of how I'm experiencing people causes their dysfunction or their contribution of dysfunction to my team or my friendship or my community to increase. So I need to get into it and take care of it quickly and early.
I love that, because also what happens within us, you know, and you're talking about a leadership position, it can relate to the family, it can relate to friendships that we have, et cetera. But also, not only do we enable dysfunction, which is, doesn't sound fun at all to be enabling dysfunction. But it also, there's something that happens in us about our attitude towards that person.
Yeah.
And so we're holding things, we get frustrated, we're angry, whatever, and then that just creates this static, if so to speak, in our relationship.
Yeah.
And there's a breakdown, and it's really, the Lord wants to raise us up as a leader who, as you say, speaks with clarity, conciseness, and but has a heart for the person as well.
That's absolutely right. And that's where I've almost erred. So my dysfunction has been to think, if I speak the truth, then it's just going to hurt. It's just going to be painful. It's just going to cause damage. And that's a lie. That is a wrong belief. Truth results in freedom. And yes, you can speak truth without love. That disconnects. But if my goal is authentic connection, my goal, my baseline is love, then I cannot grow in love without speaking truth. And that's what I'm learning. And that's what I've realized for years. I have, so love covers a multitude of wrongs. That's true. But love also speaks the truth. Love comes with a knife. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if your friend never wounds you, you probably haven't got a faithful friend. It's this whole, oh my gosh, there's so much that God is leading me into this. And I'm realizing for me to grow as a leader, I have to lean into this and grow, especially where it causes me to feel uncomfortable. And what I'm learning is actually the fact that I feel uncomfortable in this is not a bad thing, because it tells me, Andy, you deeply love these people. You value these people. That's going to keep this love component as I speak the truth, so that I'm not just like, blah, 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 blah. No, we're not that. No, I have an intentional purpose to what I'm doing and why I'm speaking truth, because I believe in you and I believe in walking with you. And the only way for us to walk closer together is to actually uncover this area that we haven't talked about, that is festering, that is growing, and we're going to speak into it to bring truth so that we can actually walk closer. So we're going from a Facebook connection to a covenant connection.
Whoa. I know what you're sharing today is speaking to many hearts, and you know, the Lord just there's grace in this season to lean into relationships, to lean into a communication. And I've talked to a lot of leaders who have misunderstood the culture of honor,
yeah,
the culture of empowerment, and there's sometimes a subtle misconception that comes to people. Well, if I'm honoring, I will overlook the problem and just honor the person. And then what happens is that these leaders, I think we can all relate to it to a level. There's like a simmering volcano on the inside of us. Yeah. And then when we actually, address the situation, we address it in a painful way for others
and for ourselves. Yeah.
And for ourselves. Wow.
And the thing that actually, it was a meeting with Chris Ballatin. Chris has his incredible way to speak truth. And I know that he loves me, so I can take his truth in these tough conversations. But he actually revealed to me the story of David and his son, Amnon, who raped, so Amnon raped his stepsister Tamar. Injustice, wrong, terrible, required correction. But David was furious, but did nothing. And you could say today, that was there is injustice, and people just covered it and believed the best, but never actually confronted and took care of it. The fruit of that, so failing to speak truth and correction in the midst of injustice, you could say he was saving face, you could say he was honor, whatever he was doing, because he did not publicly, quickly, and concisely deal with that situation, it grew. So instead of having one son that ended up in jail, or one son that ended up in a period of, dude, you've made a crazy mess here, you got to clean up your mess. Instead of that confrontation, what David's avoidance of dealing with the issue resulted in Absalom. So instead of having just a rape and dealing with, and that's bad enough by itself, he ended up with a murder because his Absalom took justice into his hand. So if I don't deal with the injustice offense situation, it will grow bigger. If I don't deal with it, then it resulted in a splitting of the kingdom. So David's dysfunction in avoiding speaking truth produced Absalom. So it's just like, oh my gosh, I cannot afford not to speak the truth. I cannot afford not to speak up in the face of injustice, because if I don't, it will produce and grow over time to become a bigger and bigger mess.
Well, you know, that story is certainly motivation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
to move forward. And yeah, you look at, you know, David, all the great qualities, the man after God's own heart, and yet that was a dysfunction within his leadership. And by the way, I'm hearing, you know, today, Andy, that this is a week where Holy Spirit is there's grace upon us to pursue relationships, to have those conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I found out in those conversations is to really make sure we're asking good questions. And because I've been in those times where I think I fully understand everything that's going on in the dynamic of the relationship or what I perceive. And I've learned this, if I can ask good questions and say, okay, help me understand, this is what I'm seeing here. Because sometimes there's dynamics involved that we don't know about that are contributors that will help us be able to guide the person and actually help us understand the person. But yeah, it's all a part of pursuing that relationship.
Yeah, and I think which is the core of this is humility. So if the core of it is humility and love, I'm not coming in, Steve, you did this and you did that and you did this and you did that. No, that comes out when I have delayed talking about an issue for so long that it's so much of a, it explodes out. So this is where I'm learning. I need to do it early and say, hey, Steve, this is how I'm experiencing you. So I'm communicating me. This is how what you did affected me. It seems like, it sounds like, can you help me understand what's going on here? And then to pause and listen, like you said, is the powerful questions that then get a truth exchange. And ideally, the goal is so that I can hear, so that we can clear the air, and then we can heal. But if all I do is say, oh, I just forgive you, or I just let it go, it's like, no, that is not you. That is going to create an Absalom. That is going to create a greater mess because it's just festering on the inside. It's like, if I broke your window, I'm not just going to come and put a board over it, you know, and call it forgiveness. No, I need to understand, hey, I broke your window. Tell me how that affected you. Oh, you had a sleeping baby in that room and it broke and it woke up the baby. And then that created this and this and this. Now I'm starting to understand the depth of the pain that I've caused you. Now I can say, oh, I'm deeply, like, this is what I did. This is how it made you feel. This is how I feel about making you feel that way. Now I can say, I'm sorry. Now this is what I'm going to do so it doesn't happen again. If I can walk through that process, then we're going to walk out the other side. And you're going to now have reestablished trust to build a whole nother level of connection and covenant connection rather than just the surface glib. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let's get on with life.
Well, I think this is a Facebook Live that I would recommend that you watch again. And because this area of, because we're talking, the people who are on here, they're leaders, they're go-getters, they're world changers. They have vision. They believe no matter what happens, they're going to thrive. And
yeah.
But it is this relational piece that if we're not careful, if we're zealous, visionary people, then we were more focused on the goal of what we're trying to accomplish then in the development of people and the development of healthy, safe relationships in our environment, which is really the foundation of being able to build something big anyway. Because if I don't have a good relationship with Wendy, well, you know, if I don't pursue connection and love and pretty soon the pressure of everything we're facing is gonna break that thing down, and I'm gonna have to back off from even what I'm doing in order just to repair something.
Yeah, absolutely. And recognizing, I don't know about you and Wendy, but my wife and I are so different. So this tends to be the mercy and truth partnered together. So Andy's mercy and my wife's truth, she sees it so much clearer than I do. And so, big picture right now, what's going on is, and we talked about this, is what am I experiencing in the atmosphere and the environment across the states in terms of what I'm observing is one is division, is a spirit of division. And you could call that politics. You could call that religion. And then two is silence. So people are like scared of saying something because it doesn't matter what you say, you're going to be wrong. So it's like, oh, so this attempt to silence people and then to divide. So I have to then move in closer and recognize where have I silenced the people around me rather than just letting their gift because it's different to me. And secondly, where am I partnering with division because I'm saying this, but actually the very things that I'm standing on because it's true and it's right and I'm a visionary leader. The very stand that you're making is isolating or dividing you from the very people that you're called to serve and influence. So I'm learning this, one, for myself, two, for my marriage, three, for my kids, four, for my team, and then a wider community as I'm making decisions. You know, I've got an event coming on. How do I make the decision of what I do and what I don't do? Because it doesn't matter what I do. The potential to divide and undermine the work that we're doing is very real.
Well, Andy, you're saying something really profound there because, you know, when you ask the question, where am I silencing and where am I dividing? Because you're flipping that because I would say, you know, where I'm, you're just talking about me, I would ask the question, where am I being silenced? And what are other people doing to divide? And you're saying, don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution, do something in your own life to break that thing off and not just wait for something to happen outside you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's painful. That's hard. So it is this. So here's a real practical. And this is one of the things that it's happening on multiple levels. Two, it's an atmospheric thing. So I've got to be aware and I've got to anchor in Jesus and what he's saying to me. That is a given. There is no way other than that. If I don't anchor in him because he is truth, I want to be swayed by everything else. So that's number one. But then number two is some of the decisions that we're making, how do we make them? So I've got here's a practical example. I've got a conference coming up next month. Normally we'll have 200 business people coming from all over the world to Redding, California. Now, obviously this year, it'll be just from the States. And I've got people all around me emailing, saying, I can't wait to come. I want to be in Redding with you, all of this. And I'm in turmoil thinking, okay, you coming, I have one of my family members, direct family members, is vulnerable. And so health condition, heart condition, lung condition. So she's more sensitive. So I've got that going on. Then I've got a business community that I'm connected to in my city. And then I've got a church community that is so mixed in terms of from, I'm not even going to say, because even what I say, it will divide people. But there's people from every spectrum there.
Yeah, every opinion of what we should do.
Oh, and like, absolutely. And people that I love and respect on completely different sides. Two doctors in one room with different views of what we should and shouldn't do. So I'm navigating, God, what do I do? So I think that I get to this, you know, here's the surface, here's where the wind, the waves, the noise, the, you know, I've got to go deep down. Deep core, okay, connect with peace, connect with his presence, abide, God, make a decision from that. I'm going to make a decision based on love and honor. And I'm thinking purely, so here we go. If I bring 200 business people to my city and even one of them brings a virus, what's that going to do to the businesses in my city? If Andy has a business conference and then out of that business conference that reintroduces something that then forces some restrictions on the businesses in my city, that's not a good thing to do. So for the sake of honor, we're just going to do it virtually. And I process it with my team. Now, it sounds good at the surface, but actually it's divisive. Why? Because if I say for the sake of honor, we're not going to have an in-person event, that means that everybody who is having an in-person event, that is meeting with others, that is traveling, that is speaking, that's dishonor. So I'm just like, oh God, what do I do? So light bulb moment, it brought us back to why are we doing what we're doing? How are we doing what we're doing? What is the core message that I am called to contribute? So methods are many, principles are few. Methods may vary, but principles never do. So what's the core principle message that I want to get out? Now for us, it's the message of this event. Do I have to be in person? No, I don't. So it draws us back to anything that will be a distraction from the core message of why we are doing what we are doing, I don't have to do that. So what it took away, it just removed the table from all of these distracting things to what is the most effective way to communicate and deliver a message that we're called to do. Oh, it's a no-brainer. It's online. If I bring people here with masks, with social distancing, we're trying to work out coffee when I'm not supposed to touch someone, all of these requirements, I don't have to worry about it. I can deliver one thing, one way, with one message, and most effectively deliver what I need to do and who I'm called to serve. So the difference being, at this level, I thought it was honor. I thought it was actually, I was partnering with division without even realizing it. I had to go deeper again and say, God, get me back to the core why, the core what that you called me to do, and then we can talk about how. But all of the ways that I've done what I'm doing, anything then is up in the air. Meeting together in person is not the goal. It's just a form of delivering a message, a connection. So I've got to strip it away and say, what's the core and how could I do that, and then go for it.
So there we have it. I'm navigating, making sure that I don't partner with silence or partner with causing division. It's crazy trying to navigate all of that, but you can do this. And that's why I need wisdom and I need courage. The beauty is I get to have both. I've been camped out in the book of Joshua and just sitting on that declaration again and again, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. So I bless your week. I trust that you would advance in wisdom, that you'd advance in discernment to see to the heart of the matter, and you'd advance in truth. You'd literally lean into whatever it is you're facing. You wouldn't hold back. You wouldn't shrink back. You wouldn't step back, but you'd step up, lean in, and look for solutions regardless of what you're facing. There is always a way.